Welcome to the Talented Learning Show podcast, episode 75 with independent learning tech analyst John Lay. Today I interview Debbie Smith, president of SEDMA, about the current state of the customer ed market. You can find more of our fiercely independent content at talentedlearning.com. Well, welcome back, listeners. Thank you very much for tuning in to the 75th episode of the Talented Learning Show. Holy cow, how did that happen already? I just started this show yesterday. On this show, and the reason that I started it was that I wanted to interview experts in customer education, partner education, and extended enterprise education from both the practitioner and the vendor points of view. And today is no different. We have a practitioner, Debbie Smith, president of SEDMA, the world's oldest and largest nonprofit association dedicated to supporting professionals in customer education and SaaS software and high-tech companies. Debbie is also the leader of a customer education organization at a major software provider, and so she brings the day-to-day experience in customer education as well as the unparalleled view of the customer education and industry domain knowledge to the table here today. So we've got a lot to learn. I'm a relatively new member of SEDMA, and I wanted to take the opportunity today to go to the source of truth for customer education and get a solid update on the industry, on SEDMA, their changes, the upcoming SEDMA conference and show in Atlanta, the customer education skill set in general, ROI measurement, and much more in this conversation. If you want to learn, keep listening. Let's get going. Debbie, welcome to the Talented Learning Show. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thanks for asking me, John.
Outstanding. Well, let's start at the top, Debbie. Why don't you tell us about SEDMA, your history, and the purpose of your organization?
All right. So SEDMA's been around for a long time. SEDMA actually started in 1991 as the Computer Education Management Association. Wow. And I mean, if we think back to what we had in computers in 91, you know, we're talking pretty much black screens and green print on the screens then, right? I mean, we did have more than that, but most of us, if we had a computer at home, we didn't have much color. If we had color, it was even 16 color, right? So we've really, really evolved. And in 2016, we changed the name from computer education to customer education. And the real focus of it is really the customer and the end user. And we're an organization for executives, managers, and professionals who are focused on the function of customer education, because customer education is really a function that should be at every company and should sit probably side by side by CS, but there's a good argument to be made to put it on different teams too. SEDMA is led by an all-volunteer board. We have approximately 400 individual members from over 70 different companies. And we have gone through a major transformation, which will really culminate this year in our conference, which is April 22nd, 23rd, and 24th in Atlanta. We'd love to have you all attend. And here's a hint. If you're not already a SEDMA member, if you join SEDMA and then purchase your ticket, you're going to save a little bit of money. So join SEDMA and then join us at the conference. We have great keynotes coming in the form of Donna Weber talking about customer onboarding, and Lila Meyer from Gainsight talking about how you actually execute in customer education.
Wow, that's going to be a great show, I'm sure. Cool. So when we talked recently, you painted the picture of your storied career to get to into customer education and where you're at right now, and I wanted you to please share that again for everybody, just how you get there. Because what I wanted to illustrate is just there is no place really that you just go and become a customer education expert. You grow into it. And I think all of us are in that process of growing and learning. So why don't you share your story? It's so inspiring.
So back in the day when I was in college, I started out as an education major, but then dropped it because I couldn't afford to do the practicum as a teacher. So I went into business and worked in business, including doing sales for Procter & Gamble. And then after I had my children, I decided to go back into the classroom. So I started teaching again and did my master's. I've actually started five different master's degrees. I have a learning problem, is what I often say. I need to know the why behind the what so I get really into the weeds. And since then, I have actually taught students from the age of about two to 95 how to use technology at all different types of technology. I taught virtual school back in the late 90s and early 2000 before people even realized that you could teach virtually. I moved in and taught at a college, and there I even had the amazing task of teaching a CDL course for truck drivers, how to drive an 18-wheeler, and actually got to drive an 18-wheeler.
Nice.
I moved from there into patient education. And when I started getting into patient education, that's when I realized I was focusing on customers. And then looking back at my career now, I even realized that when I was at Florida Virtual School and I switched over to the instructional design, we were doing customer education there for superintendents too. So I've taught in almost every industry too for technology. I've taught manufacturing, biotech, finance, SaaS. So I have a really wide, varied understanding of the different sectors in the US. And as I started talking to people, it's about 2017 when I met Adam Abanescu and Dave Darrington. And that's when I actually came into the words customer education. And I can remember talking to them saying, those words are too long. We need shorter words, right? Which is one of the reasons, like, we have SEDMA as an abbreviation because customer education is long to fit on things. And they really helped me understand what I was doing and why I was doing it. And the reason I fell in love with customer education is that was the year that I was able to show the impact of customer education. Now, I had done HR training, I'd done sales enablement training, and those were great. They were fun, but we couldn't show the impact. The companies weren't focused on it. But when in 2017, I was able to show the impact of my trained users versus my untrained users. And my trained users, if they took e-learning, were about 11% higher ARR. If they took ILT, instructor-led training, they're about 25% higher ARR. What really was cool though is when I launched a full certification program, their ARR was 69% higher, which is like, isn't that what we all want? And then we had zero churn if we had a certified person in it. So that's when I understood the impact of customer education. And that's, I had joined SEDMA a little bit before that, but started to get active in SEDMA and really advocate for what customer education is and can do for a company. Now, I have a long history of education and I believe in understanding all the education science and the learning science, but I don't teach people so they learn. That is not my goal. I teach people so they buy more product, they use more product, and so they don't churn. I do it to cut support tickets. So, in every customer education team has different goals. So, as you move from company to company, understanding what the focus of your customer education team is really important to aligning it to the strategic goals.
Wow, outstanding, outstanding. In 2024, what are the skills that a customer education professional, are there different types? Are there, how do you categorize in your mind? What do you need to know to be successful?
I think there are a couple of things that are really important. I think it's shifting with the advent of AI. I think the critical thinking skills, the flexibility, problem-solving skills, and editorial skills are super important. Really being able to look sentence by sentence and understanding if that sentence is accurate. Often when we read with a gist. So we'll read a whole paragraph, we'll read five or six sentences, and then walk away with a gist. That's fine when we're reading for entertainment. But if we're reading and we're thinking critically, we actually have to stop the end of it, every sentence and say, okay, what did that say? Is that accurate? And I found half the time it's not completely accurate when I'm reading things the first time. So that massage and really editing is a skill, and being able to read sentence by sentence is going to be a big skill as we grow our use of AI.
Wow. I couldn't be more surprised. I didn't hear the words marketing, or I don't know, attracting learners, or I don't know, a lot of the things I typically hear. That's a much more practical skill set. What about from an education standpoint? Is there trends that, certain majors that are entering into this career? Is it enough that it's being taught university wise? Like, what's your perspective on this?
It's actually not being taught in a university at this point. There are a couple of people that I know who are working on their own PhD programs, but they are customized programs that they're designing themselves. The way into it to get the background you need, and this can be a pro or a con, and this is really interesting. I have a master's degree in instructional design. And then I also have another half of a year in a master's, or actually a full year in a master's degree in UX. And I think both of those skill sets really need to be brought in together because you need to understand the learning design, you need to understand the learning sciences, but you also need to understand UX because you have to understand usability and who your customers are and how to talk to customers. So I think there's an overlapping set of skills that you need there. But you also need to be able to understand the processes that they teach in college for instructional design and say, okay, yeah, that's the process. If I'm going to spend 18 months creating a course, no one in SaaS has time to spend 18 months creating a course. You won't have a job if you spent 18 months creating a course. So you need to really learn how to be flexible and pull things back from it. So there's that type of skill. The other area that people come from is the UX or web design or computer programming, database programming. See a lot of people from those areas coming. And then all types of teachers right now are trying to move out of the classroom and into more business related skills. So really understanding business is important for them. And that's the hardest transition is going from academia to business.
Interesting. What about from an industry standpoint? Your background is diverse and varied across every industry, as you mentioned. But what about customer education? Is it, I think a lot of people's perception is that it's software based. What's your perception? Is it only there? Is it bigger than that?
Customer education is actually bigger than software. SEDMA, we really focus on the software technology companies because it's really the technology. And the roots of customer education are in product training, which we think of as customer education. But you look at the company, and I know I say their name wrong all the time, Circuit, the or Cricut, the you can print out all types of in inks and everything and do mugs. They're a B2C. They're not really a software company, but they have a great customer education department. Your retail stores are now looking for customer education professionals too, which is interesting to see. And then I look at the big old manufacturing companies. Look at someone like Honeywell. Like, I don't think of Honeywell as a technology company, but they actually have a customer ed team too. And their customer education team focuses a little bit more on partners, or their trainers. So it's interesting to see it spread across many different companies, and it's definitely something that's growing. And I think this is really the year of customer education. We're seeing a bigger interest in it. We're seeing companies from around the world. Customer education, the words were really more US centric, and we're seeing that spread everywhere. There's an EMEA meetup group now. There's meetup groups all over the world, literally. And I do participate in a lot of those. Besides being active in SEDMA, I'm also part of the customereducation.org Slack channel. And then Dave and Adam out of CE Lab, they have a community too. So I'm involved in that. So I have my hands in a little bit of everything because I want to help other people do what I've done and really grow their careers because there have been a lot of frustrating parts, and I've seen a lot of teams get decimated. And I want to help people overcome some of those things to help advance all of us.
All right. Cool. Well, that's great. What about I'm noticing the same thing too. It is on fire. I've been preaching customer education from an LMS technology standpoint for a long time, and 2024 is just everywhere I turn. globally. And so it's really exciting to see that. But one of the things that I've noticed is, I guess because there's not a formal program to go anywhere to become a customer education professional, is kind of a blending of terms. And so you hit on one just a second ago when you talked about Honeywell and partners. So when you think of customer education, it could be what, from an audience standpoint, prospective customers, customers, partners, resellers, distributors, more than that, less than that? What do you think?
All of that. So
All of
when
that.
I think about my customers, I have internal customers who are my CS team or my product team who all need to be trained. My actual paying customers, my prospects, my service partners, my sales partners, those are all different customers that I have in my company. In different companies, you can have many, many different types of customers. And the reason it's important to keep the word customer, because, and I struggled with this, but the reason that it's important to have that word customer in there is because it's really focusing you on the person who's doing the learning. And the difference between learner and customer, when we focus too much just on the learner, then we're actually focusing on the learning and not the outcomes that the customer is trying to get. Customer education is focusing on what are the outcomes that a customer needs? What are the skills that they're doing? What are the jobs to be done? It's really that focus on customer that's so important. And it doesn't matter if your customer is a partner or if they're an internal user, they're still your customer and they're still trying to get a job done. And our job is to help them use our software to get their jobs done.
And what are the biggest challenges that customer education professionals encounter to get that job done in 2024? What's everybody struggling with? What are some common themes?
Great question. One thing that everyone struggles with is buy-in, alignment, and duplication of effort. So the buy-in is hard because often people will refer to customer education as a program. And I will tell you, it is not a program. Customer education is not a program and should not be referred to as a program. It is a function. It is a business unit that runs multiple programs. I run a training program, which is my ILT. I run certification programs and I run e-learning programs. Each of those are programs consisting of many projects, but I run a business unit. And that language sounds like just semantics and a small thing, but it's actually a huge difference. And the reason that that's a big difference, programs by definition, if you go to PMI, like projects, have starts and finish. So what that means, if you're running a customer education program and budget gets a little bit tight, oh, we can cut that program. We don't normally cut business functions and business units, but we cut programs. So that language that I use is very intentional for that.
Oh, cool. One of the good ways, that's a great perspective. One of the one of the great ways to not get your business unit cut or misnomer program cut is really being able to prove your worth to the organization. And you drop some pretty great stats from your own history and career. But you have visibility into everything, essentially what everybody's achieving. So what are some of the best stats, some of the best, return on investment that you see customer education organizations achieving around the world? What should we be striving for? What's possible?
Red Hat has some real good data out there too. Red Hat has some amazing data about time to resolve customer support tickets, right? And how more self-sufficient someone who's certified is. HubSpot does an amazing job, and their program is very different than any program I run. Their program is a marketing program, right? So it's all pre-sale, and then they pull you in. So there's really good programs in different ways. The most important thing, though, is really that business impact, that alignment. Why do you exist? And you have to know why you exist in your company. And the other thing that's really important to know is what every other team's OKRs are. In customer education, we can partner with all different teams and help them achieve their goals. And that cross-functional collaboration is really going to help the company. It's going to help the customer education team, but it's also going to help the sales team, the marketing team, the CS, the support, the product team, product marketing. So understanding what the highest level goals are of the company and how they're planning achieving those and aligning your goals to that is really crucial.
Now it has to happen. So every metric's different. Every organization is different. It's, you know, who you're trying to enable.
Exactly.
So we're down, switching topics, down in Atlanta, April. What are you going to learn of an attendee that's attending your annual show?
Great question. So this year, we really want to focus on bringing people together and empowering customer education teams. We will have topics from onboarding, cross collaboration, to planning a strategy, to launching a syndication program. How do you syndicate content? That's a hot topic this year. There will, of course, be topics around AI. There will be many different vendors there from both AI software and from different learning management systems and different types of technology systems. It's a great way to have to meet people who have already done it, and there'll be new people there, but we'll have a lot of sessions where there's chances to talk to people and learn from individuals. And that's the best part about a face-to-face conference is really getting to meet everyone and talk to the people who are presenting. So, you know, when people present, being able to hear them, you learn from it, but being able to talk to them afterwards and dig in a little bit deeper and ask more questions, that's the best part of the conference for me.
Wow, sounds great. Sounds great. You can find more information on sedma.org about the conference here. But you're running out of time. Hurry, hurry. All right, but we're running out of time. So we got
We are
time
running
for,
out of time.
we're running out of time too. So we got time for one more question. So say you're in a software organization, and I know they exist because I'm in one right now that hasn't had a customer education perspective yet, and you want to sell that intern. And what's your best advice to start making an awareness for something like this, that you can take your first steps. Somebody has to lead the charge in every organization.
Yeah, the first step is figuring out what the company's either their biggest goal is or their biggest problem is, right? And you can attack it from the positive aspect or from like solving that problem. If you go into it from a problem solving, you know, is the company's problem, is it churn? Is it cost of customer acquisition? Is it support tickets, cost to serve? Because customer education can help with all of those. So identifying the one goal that you're going to impact, but then not just talking about it, because this is where we get in trouble a lot of times, is we like to talk about the strategy, and more people want to talk about the strategy. But you have to get real tactical. How are you going to do the work? You have to get stuff done, and you can't take 18 months to get things done. You really need to start showing impact right away. And I think that's where a lot of the AI software is really going to help us be able to get to impact faster.
Wow, there you go. Sage advice. Thank you, Debbie Smith, president of SEDMA, getting ready for a big show, all volunteer board and organization there, putting this together for the good of everybody. And so encourage you all to learn more about that and join. I'm a proud member, albeit new, of SEDMA myself. So Debbie, thanks for.
Looking forward to meeting you in person in
I
April,
know.
John.
Likewise, likewise. Well, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. It's great to have you here and to learn from you, Debbie.
It's great to chat with you. Thanks, John.
Awesome. Sedma.org, and you can find more of our fiercely independent information at talentedlearning.com. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Talented Learning Show, and we hope to see you on the next. Have a great day, everyone.
Have a great day.